Our theme is Your Faith Awakens. Got me thinking, just practically, what wakes you up? Okay, an alarm clock. It takes like a loud sound. Beep, beep, beep. What else wakes you up? What gets you going? How do you? Okay, obviously nothing. The sunrise, really? The sun comes, oh, isn't that glorious? The birds singing the sunrise. I can just imagine the scene. You jump out of bed. Oh, what a beautiful. What else? Okay, yes, some of you partake of the sacrament every morning. As soon as I hear the grinder going and smell the aroma, I know that it's time to get up. For me, I'm awake. Does anybody have that? You're awake, but you're not really awake? Do you guys have that phase too? Like the alarm clock has gone off, you've smelled the coffee, you might even take a sip or two, but you're not quite there yet. You're like in the zombie land. Not quite to needing brains, but almost. For me, it's once I finally get moving. Once I get a little exercise under me, maybe it's just that stretch, but it gets the blood pumping and you're awake. When we talk about our faith waking up, I'm convinced that the way our faith awakens, the way our faith gets strong, is when we exercise it. And so this whole summer, we're going to look at how do we exercise our faith. Are you with me? Okay. One of the things we have to remember when we talk about this, because it gets so dangerous when we're talking about exercising our faith, to start thinking that getting our faith in the first place is something that we earn. Never, ever, ever confuse this. And I'm going to probably overstate this because I don't know where everybody's at in their faith journey individually. I know that there's some in this room that are just checking it out. You've said, I don't know what this church thing is. I'm kind of interested. And you have no clue on the narrative. That's totally fine. There's others who are sitting here today and going, man, I'm not even supposed to be here. If anybody knew what I had hidden away, they wouldn't accept me in this body. To you, I say, you are welcome here. Let's exercise your faith and start strengthening it. To some of you, you think you have it all together. At least you have for the last 12 hours. And everything feels really, really good. And you are exercising your faith. Hey, let's take that to the next level. But what we remember is it all starts here, that God gives us our identity through his Son, not by any of our works. He creates faith in us through the Holy Spirit, and that's where it starts. What we do with that faith is then in our court. Are you with me? See, some people are going to miss this, and I know that word will get back, and people will send me emails and go, you're saying you can earn your faith. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that what God actually commands us to do is to exercise our faith, to use the faith that he's given us, to strengthen it, to grow it, all by his Spirit. And so today, as we look at the text, we're going to go, how did Jesus do that with the disciples? But before we go to Jesus, I want to go to Master Yoda. He's one of my top characters. And I love the lines that stick. I've been wondering, what is it about the lines that stick? Why are there some movie lines that they're just sticky? Everybody quotes them. And there's others that you'd never put on a t-shirt. Just out of, what's your favorite movie line? Just yell them out. Which one? Oh, I'll give you an aw. Oh, and that's great on the day of my goddaughter's baptism. Oh, go ahead. Man, I'm loving it. Everybody's like these violent movies. One more time? I'll be your Huckleberry. Why, thank you. I love this one. Do or do not do. There is no try. So I was writing the sermon, I was at the gym yesterday, and I was thinking through this, and how much of our life do we use try as an excuse? Try is one of those things that we go, well, I'll try. I've learned that when certain people say, well, I'll try, It means I'm too nice to say no to you. I'll try. No, see, do or don't do. Either you make the decision and you do it, and even if you do it, you may fail. See, that's why we say, I'll try. Because we're afraid if I say I'm going to do it and I fail, that you still did it, you just failed. And so you can learn next time and you can grow next time. When I was at the gym, that's what it was. I quit early. I tried to lift the weight. And the guy spotted me and said, do it or don't do it. Don't try. Fail, but don't quit. Today, when Jesus sends out his disciples, what I want to encourage us to do is either do it or don't do it. Don't pretend and wishy-washy and try. If this morning you walk out and you go, you know what, I'm not there. I don't even want to do this. Own that. That's fine. But what I'm challenging you to do, and this is high challenge stuff, is to exercise your faith in some new ways. In Luke 10, the text for today, if you have your Bibles, pop them open to it. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And if you don't, it's on your phone. Luke 10, Jerry just read it. And I'm going to go with my phone because it's easier for me to see in this light. And Bible Gateway is a great tool. The YouVersion of the Bible is a great tool. If you're looking it up. And here we go. So this is what Jesus said. It says, and now the Lord, that's Jesus, appointed 70 others. Now, usually this says 72, and I'm a big believer that what would happen the first time Jesus sent out his disciples, he had 12 disciples. It says that he sent them out two by two. So if you're sending out 12 disciples by two, just follow the math with me, he's sending out six people. I believe firmly that what those six pairs did is they went out and they did what Jesus did. If they had seen Jesus doing that, they did it. By the way, that's the definition of a disciple. A disciple is somebody who does what their rabbi does. I find that an interesting definition because so often we're afraid to talk about this, but the only thing that anybody else knows, the only thing that matters if you're being videotaped is what you do. Now, I'll own that there's thoughts behind that. But think about it. How many of you, what you think and what you do, they don't quite line up? I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling me how much they loved their wife. They were a newly married guy, and they were going on about how much they loved their wife. And I just asked, because I knew they were having that, you know, 3-6 months in when the honeymoon's over, kind of rocky time in their marriage. And so I just asked, I said, does she know this? And he kind of looked at me like, well, yeah, of course she knows this. But I pressed and I said, what do you do to tell her? See, it's really easiest for us to think all these things, but when we watch the game tape, our life just doesn't match up because we're not doing these things. Right? How does my wife know I love her? Well, because I tell her. Because I do the dishes. I should say, when I do the dishes. Because I buy her flowers. See, those are things that when you look at them, people go, oh, that means they love me. When we watch movies, we only know what the character believes by what they do. We know what the disciples believed because we see what they did. When Jesus sent out the 12, he basically said to them, do what you've seen me doing. He told them to go out and to preach the good news, to cast out the demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to do the things that they had already seen him doing. I love the fact that they go out and they do it. We see this evidenced in two ways. Number one, we see right here in Luke that the second time Jesus sends them out to do what he'd been doing, he's sending out 72. The first time he sent out 12 in pairs of two, which is six. Each one of them, one of the first things they did was they gathered up some disciples because that's what they had seen Jesus doing. If you have 12 times six, you get 72. The disciples did what they had seen Jesus doing. They didn't try, they did. And that's why they came back and they said, hey, Jesus, we found some of these demons and we tried to cast them out and they wouldn't come out. They failed miserably. And Jesus was angry about this because that's how Jesus is. When we try and fail, he yells. Isn't that what we're really afraid of? Right? That's the scripture that a lot of us are reading. It's nowhere in the Bible, but we make up that story. If I try to exercise my faith in this way and I fail, Jesus is going to get mad at me. No, see, when we read it in scripture, they come back and they say, we tried to cast out these demons. And it doesn't say that he put his arm around them, but I imagine he did. Because the tone in the scripture, he goes, oh, those ones only come out through prayer and fasting. I get it. You guys tried. Now let's work on that a little bit. The next time he sends them out, you don't see him come back with the same question. They worked through that. The question I want to put on the table this morning is if the disciples, if Jesus called 12 and then sent out 12 and the 12 made disciples the same way Jesus did, how are we doing with that? How are you doing with making disciples? I get it, this is high challenge. But this is what our church says we believe. Right? Our mission statement is to deliberately disciple people into fully devoted followers of Christ. To deliberately disciple. Not to haphazardly disciple. Not to when it feels, no, but to deliberately. To do something deliberately. You have a plan. You have a system. You know what you're doing. The first question that I'd ask is, who are you discipling? Who are your 12? Or your 10? Or your 8? That you are deliberately, systematically organized, pouring your life into. Could you take out a piece of paper right now and write it down and go, here's the 6, 8, 10 guys that I'm pouring my life into. That if I look anything like Jesus, here's how Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 11. He just looked at his disciples and he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. If there's anything that you see me doing that looks like Jesus, you go and do the same thing. Who are those people that have that kind of access to your life? Second question I'd ask is, if you can make that list, do they know it? Or are they like that wife that the husband's sitting here going, I love her, I love her, I love her, but if you ask the wife, she goes, yeah. Are you discipling them only in your own mind? Or do they know that you're actively pouring your life into them? I put feelers out at Promise because this is our mission statement and the board charged me with advancing this mission statement. What that means is, as a church, we got to be doing this. We got to be actively discipling. And honestly, it floored me how hard this was. It floored me how hard this was for my own life. This brought some stuff to the surface. In this summer series, as our faith awakens, some stuff is going to come bubbling to the surface. Actually, I'm not so naive to know that when this kind of challenge is brought, some of you are going to go, you know what, I'm out of here. I want to go to a church where I can sit there, hear a good sermon, hear some songs, get some mediocre coffee. Ours is good. You might stay for the coffee. And then go home. See, if our mission is to deliberately disciple, we can't be about that. We got to each individually and in pairs be actively, deliberately discipling. So that's a little bit. And I got 6 minutes left. So where do we start? If you're like most people, most Americans, that you've been, maybe you've been a Christian all your life, to be asked this question has never happened. I'll be honest. I went through Lutheran grade school, Lutheran high school, 2 years at Lutheran University, got a Master's of Divinity, the most pompous title of a degree I've ever heard. What have I mastered? All things divine. A Master's of Divinity. And it wasn't until 2 years after that, 2 years into being a pastor, that somebody looked at me and they said, "Who are you discipling?" And I gave the cop-out pastor answer. I said, "I preach every Sunday." I said, "No, but who are you pouring your life into?" Can I be honest? I didn't even know where to start. So here's how Jesus says to do it. I love this part. We're just going to take a snippet of this. Luke 10, Jesus says this. He says, "Now after this, Jesus appointed 72 others and sent them in as pairs to every city where he was going to come. And he said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go, I'm sending you as a lamb among the wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way.'" And we'll get to that part. But verse 5 says this. It says, "When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if it's not, it will return to you." See, when Jesus is saying this, he's saying this right around Jerusalem and Galilee. Do you know how they greet each other in Jerusalem and Galilee? Not because of Jesus, but this is their traditional Jewish, Israeli, Palestinian greeting. Yeah, you got it. Shalom. Shalom is translated, "Peace be to this house. Peace be to this oikos, this family. Peace be to you and yours." See, as Americans, since it's not our language, we put all kinds of levels of meaning on it. What's our greeting in America? Yeah, exactly. "Hey, how are you?" Yeah, do you notice how the whole thing just went down? Jesus is taking something totally common, and he's flipping it on his head. See, Jesus says, when you walk into a house, say, "Peace to this house." But how many people in Israel in those days would walk into a house and say, "Peace be on this house," and they'd mean it as much as we mean it in America when we say, "How are you?" You know what I'm saying? How many of you, when you ask, you don't really care? Nothing wrong with that. Part of it is it's a script. I mean, if you want to test that and see how much it's a script, answer with something other than "fine." "Hey, how are you?" I'm pretty horrible. I'm having a tough day. My alarm clock actually went off late, so I was running late. I felt all kind of shame and guilt, even as laying in bed, because I told our camp staff that I'd pick them up Panera, and so I had to actually, I thought about lying one of the first things, telling them that Panera was closed. Then I realized they'd figure it out, and so I got to church at 8:40 when usually, you know, the service starts at 20 till. I forgot that the baptism was this morning. Actually, I thought it was in the second service, so I freaked out because I didn't think there was water there. Can you imagine how awkward that would be out in the lobby as you're trying to get your coffee? You'd be like, "No, Pastor, I just want fine." But what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, I want you to live intentionally. When you walk into a house, say, "Peace upon this house," and mean it. What would happen this week if just when you greeted people, you said, "Hey," and they said, "Hey," you said, "How are you?" You actually asked it with such intentionality that if they were paying any attention at all, they'd know that you really wanted an answer. They'd know that you really cared. What would happen if when you said, "How are you?" you left enough time for them to give an annotated answer? That's how Jesus starts it. is he says, when you greet somebody, just give them the common everyday greeting. But as followers of me, Jesus says, be intentional. Actually mean what you say. When you say peace be on this house, just watch. Do they receive that peace? Do they realize that it's a blessing from you? And if they do, then pay attention. Pay attention. Move into that house. Hang out with them. Invest in those people. You want to know how to make disciples? That's how it starts. Can you imagine what would happen this week? This is the challenge part. How much would it awaken your faith with one little movement? See, so often we think that it's these huge strides forward, and what I'm starting to realize, it's a little tweak. What would happen if, even for the first 15 minutes of your day, the first three people you met, you just asked, hey, how are you? With an intentionality. Carving out a little bit of extra time to listen to their answer. Seeing even with that, if they just give you the fine, if that's the case, it's okay. You just shake the dust off your feet, move on, no big deal. What would happen? I challenge you this week. Keep your phone on you. Keep a little notepad. Carve out a little bit of time each day to just ask, God, is that a person of peace? If I greet them and ask, how are you? And they give me an answer, just jot down their name. Just keep a list of people that might be people of peace. That God might be laying down a way that you can talk to them and share your life with them and pour into them. Maybe God has something to teach you through them. It's all about these little teeny steps forward. We'll return to this verse throughout the summer because it's how Jesus made disciples, and we're going to learn this together.